Non, non, ここさんなんかね、もうビル。
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies, grace, and love toward us. Thank you for your blessings you have showered upon us. Thank you for helping us to grow spiritually. Thank you for helping us to grow in all spiritual things. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for opening our eyes to see deep things about you and about your kingdom and about your will for our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for rebuking Satan for us. Thank you for subduing Satan under our feet. Thank you for making us stronger than our weaknesses. Thank you for making impossible things possible in our lives. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the assurance we have in our hearts that our future is great. Thank you for the assurance we have deep in our souls that victory is ours, that success and prosperity is ours. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such assurance. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the prayers we have prayed here before now in the previous Healing Streams programs. We thank you because you answered those prayers. Because we can hear testimonies of the things you did. Thank you for being such a faithful God. Oh Lord, we are here again this morning, trusting in your power and authority and anointing and grace and dominion. We are here trusting that far beyond what you did last week, that you are going to do more even now. Oh Lord, visit us with your power. Visit us in your power. Intervene in our situations. Hear us again and answer us again. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. Let those in bondage be liberated in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do more than our expectations. Be Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Remember that last Tuesday, I started a topic and I did not finish it intentionally. Because I want us to take the topic very slow so that we can learn a lot from the topic. So the topic says the healing anointing. Yeah, that was the topic, the healing anointing. And last Tuesday, we discussed on the definition of the healing anointing. That is, what the healing anointing is all about. And today we're going to be looking at the operations of the healing anointing. How this healing anointing functions. That is what we're going to be looking at today. If you weren't here last Tuesday, you can go and listen to the audio of the program. You will find it on the Telegram group. So now we are looking at the operations of the healing anointing. How does the healing anointing operate? How does the healing anointing operate? There are five points I'm going to be looking at. Five points. Number one, remember we are looking at operations of the healing anointing. Number one is the need for death and dying. The need for death and dying. That is, there must be death and there must be dying for the healing anointing to operate. There must be death. As in death, D-E-A-T-H, and then there must be dying, as in D-Y-I-N-G, for the healing anointing to operate. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 12. So then death walketh in us, but life in you. I'll take it again. 2 Corinthians 4, 11 and 12. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. So I said, for the healing anointing to operate, there is a need for death and dying to take place. Now, here, this man of God, Apostle Paul, was showing how death and life are connected. How death gives birth to life. So he said, he and his missionary team, they are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, because of the kind of work they do. So there is always a death threat following them. Yeah, because many people want them dead. And not only that, there is also death walking in them, because they are not just going to surrender to the enemy. As the authorities are telling them, stop preaching about this man Jesus or face consequences. Yeah. A normal human being would be scared and sit at home and say, I'm not going to preach again. They are going to kill us. But this man and his team, they refuse to surrender. So which means they are dying to their flesh. That part of your flesh that don't want to be persecuted. That part of your flesh that don't want to suffer for Jesus' sake. That part of your flesh that I don't want to sacrifice all things to do God's will. So these men, they died, and they are always dying to the flesh so that Jesus can live in them and through them. So if the healing anointing is going to function in your life and through your life, there must be constant death and dying. So number one, you must be dead to sin, dead to your flesh, dead to this world. You must be dead to everything that is dark, everything that is of the darkness. You must be dead to those things. So what does it mean to be dead to something? It means the hold of that thing in you is gone. It means the desire for that thing in you is gone. That means you are dead to that thing. Yeah, for instance, if a man is lying dead on the ground and then a beautiful and seductive woman comes around that man and starts seducing the man that is lying dead on the ground, do you think the man is going to move his body? The man will not even know that somebody is trying to seduce him. because the man is already gone. Yeah, so the woman, the seductive woman, will just be wasting her time. Because the man she's trying to seduce is gone. There's nothing in him that will respond to the seduction of she's trying to do on him. So that is what it means to be dead. It means the stronghold that thing have over your soul is gone. That is when you are dead to that thing. Yeah, so it means there is nothing in you that responds to the temptation coming from that thing, or seduction, or pressure, or what else, or enticement. Yeah, so to be dead to this world means that everything going on in this world does not move you. In fact, to you it's as if those things are not happening at all, because those things does not control you, and those things does not attract you or draw you to serve them, to do them. So that is what it means to be dead. Yeah. For instance, if you are dead to the love of money, when you hear about a lot of money, maybe someone suddenly say, oh, in 2 weeks you can make $50 million. Yeah, if you are dead to the love of money, it will move you. But if you are not dead to the love of money, immediately you hear such high figures, your ears will move, your heart will shake. You'll be asking that question like, are you saying I can make this much? And then you want to do everything to get that much. Yeah, so when you are dead to something, it doesn't move you anymore. It doesn't control you anymore. It doesn't seduce you anymore. It doesn't drive you anymore. So when we say you should die, we are not saying you should go and take poison and kill yourself. So I believe you now understand. I've explained it now practically, how dying to flesh, how it works, what it means to die to the flesh, to die to sin, to die to this world. So it means even while in the presence of that thing, you are living as though the thing is not there. Because it cannot control you. It cannot move you anymore. So that is death. Yeah, in the case of the apostles, they were being threatened every day, not even once in a week. Every day they were being threatened. There were people who want to kill them. Yeah, but they were dead to the fear of death. So they were not going to stop preaching because some people wanted to kill them or arrest them. They continued to do the work of God. So if the anointing is going to work in your life and through your life, there must be dates going on. Every minute, there must be death and dying going on. So you must be dead to everything in this world. You must be dead to sin. You must be dead to your flesh. And you must be dying to those things. So, which means, even after you can say, oh, I am now dead to the love of money. I am now dead to pride. I am now dead to sexual immoralities, sexual sins. Even when you can say you are now dead, you must also continue to die. Yeah, because devil will come at often times. Devil will come over and over again to wake up that part of you that is already dead. So every time he comes and he's trying to wake it up, you kill it again. Yeah, so sanctification is an everyday everyday function. To be sanctified is a battle you fight every day. Now, of course, God gives that victory over the flesh, over the Adamic nature. And there are there's a point you will attain in that victory. And you'll be able to say, I am no longer alive to this sin. I am now completely dead to this sin. Yeah, that is sanctification. Yeah, but the fact that you are now dead to that sin doesn't mean that devil will not come to wake up your connection with that sin that have died. Yeah, devil will always come over and over again to wake up the connection you have with the sin. Yeah, so the fact that you feel victory over the sin doesn't mean you should let down your guard. Yeah, if you feel like you already have victory over telling lies, over pride, over talking too much, over hotels, sexual addictions, sexual immoralities, that doesn't mean you should now relax. No, because even Jesus was tempted. Satan came to him to tempt him. And of course we know he was already dead to all those things. Satan came to tempt him to do. Yeah. But yet that doesn't stop Satan from coming to him. So the fact that you are dead to something doesn't mean Satan will not come to wake up the connection you used to have with that thing. It doesn't mean Satan will not come to make you do that thing. And in fact, the Bible told us that devil, after he overcame the temptation, devil left him for a while. Meaning that devil will come again. Jesus overcame temptation. Bible said Satan left him for a while. Which implies that Satan would come again to tempt him again. So that is where dying comes in. So even after you are dead to a particular sin, you must always die. You must constantly die to the same. Yeah, because the whole world is full of temptations and seductions. So you must continue to die, to remain dead to the sin. I pray that the grace to be dead completely to the flesh, to sin, and to everything in this world, the Lord will give to you in Jesus' name. Yeah, I had a man of God preach some time ago. He said, how can you expect to function in the anointing when your flesh is still active? How can you expect to flow in powerful anointing from heaven when your flesh have not been crushed and broken and destroyed? So he gave an example by saying, he said, the olive oil comes out of a lot of crushing. Yeah, if you have seen an olive tree, you know there's always a fruit in the olive tree. I mean, the olive tree produce olives, produce the fruits that would later be crushed to produce the olive oil. Yeah, so the fruits from the olive tree will go through a process of crushing before the oil inside will come out. Yeah. Don't forget what Apostle Paul said here, especially in verse 12. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 12. He said, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now show me a man that carries a very powerful anointing of God in his life. Then I would tell you that man is a man that death is working in him. In the kingdom of God, there is a price to pay if you are going to function in the greatness of God's power. Yeah, show me a man or a woman that carries great anointing from heaven. Then I will tell you that such man or woman also carries the death, also carries death in them. That is, they are constantly dying to flesh and self. Yeah, that's the price. Without that, forget it. If you see anyone that appears to be anointed and doesn't follow this principle, they are not going to go far in that anointing, and they are not going to do much with the anointing. Sooner or later, the anointing will dry. Yeah, the anointing does dry some. I don't know if I've heard of that. Sooner or later, the anointing will dry when you don't follow the process. I pray that the Lord open your eyes and give you more understanding. Now, let's move to point number two. Remember, we are looking at the operations of the healing anointing. Now we are moving to point number two. The need for love and compassion. To function in the healing anointing, you must be full of love and compassion. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Yeah, I know some of you might be thinking, I just come here to receive prayers. Since this is a prayer program for healing and deliverance. Yeah, so why are you teaching us how to manifest the healing anointing? According to the scriptures, Christians have been called to minister healing everywhere they go. You see that in Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. So a program like this is not only for you getting healing and deliverance, it's also like a school where you learn how to minister the same to other people. Yeah. So it's a school. Yeah, and one of the ways for you to remain in victory is when you are fighting to help other people get their own victories as well. Yeah, so you get your own complete victory when you are concerned about helping others get their own victories. And that is how the kingdom of God works. Yeah. So, everything you're learning, you have to make use of them. I mean, everything you're learning here, you have to make use of them. And you have to go out there and pray for people and minister healing and deliverance to people as well. Yeah. So what you have received, you have to give out. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Praise the Lord. Matthew 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He saw a great multitude. Yeah, I remember some time ago, maybe 3 years ago, I was living in an environment. And in that environment, there were a lot of people committing all kinds of sins. Yeah, it was, the environment was full of young men, young women, committing all forms of sins. So every time I look at them, I feel irritated in my spirit, because my spirit is very sensitive to evil lifestyles, unclean lifestyles. That is happening in people's lives. Yeah. So me looking at them, I feel like I should not be in this place. Yeah. It is disturbing to my spirit. Looking at those people, seeing the things they do, irritates my spirit. I don't want to stay there. I don't want to have anything to do with them. In fact, I didn't want to even look at them or see them. Yeah, it's just the way you feel irritated when you enter into a toilet that is so messed up with feces and all of that. Yeah, so I was so disturbed, and I went to the Lord in prayer. I said, God, I think I've made a mistake coming to stay in this environment. You need to help me here. I don't like what is going on here. Yeah, and the Lord told me that it is not a mistake that I have come to stay in that environment. That what I need to do is I need to have compassion on those people, that then I will no longer feel irritated by the life they live. That I need to have compassion on them. So what the Lord was saying is that I need to see the best in them when I look at them, and not just see the worst that is appearing to me. I need to think about how they can be free from the darkness that has captured them. So whenever I look at them, I'm supposed to be thinking about how they can be delivered, how they can be saved, how they can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, how they can also know God the way I know God. So that is what I should be thinking about. So when the Lord corrected me, I now start thinking that way, and immediately all those feeling of irritation, I mean the feeling of nothing to have anything to do with them, stopped immediately. So now, I want to actually win their souls for Jesus. Yeah. But that didn't just happen until I start having compassion. So, to function in the healing anointing, you must be full of love and compassion for those who are under the bondage of darkness, which includes sin, bondage of sin, bondage of sicknesses, diseases, yeah, which also includes bondage of witchcraft, everything that is from darkness. Everything from darkness. You need to be full of compassion towards those who are suffering from those things. Then the healing anointing will flow out of you. And one thing Christians don't understand is that there's no way healing anointing will be flowing through you and you will be sick. There's no way healing anointing will be flowing through you to help people, to save people, and you also will be sick. No. Yeah. So the healing anointing will first heal you, and then now flow through you to heal others. Yeah. In the spiritual realms, you cannot solve a problem that has captured you. How do I say it? In the spiritual realms, you can't solve a problem that has not been solved in your own life. Yeah. You can't set other people's free from a captivity. You are still inside. Yeah, you can't set other people free from a darkness that is still ruling over you. Yeah, so that implies that you cannot minister healing to people when you have not been able to get yourself healed by the same faith and anointing you preach about. Yeah. So when the healing anointing is flowing through you, it means that you are already healed. Yeah, because you have to be healed to minister the healing anointing. Now, I know there are some people who have some sicknesses and yet they still ministered healing. But those are different cases, because God intentionally kept the sickness in them. God intentionally did not take away the sickness. Like the case of Apostle Paul, who prayed 3 times. Asking God to take away a sickness in his body. And God said, I have a plan for putting the sickness there, so don't bother yourself about it. The sickness will not stop you from the assignment I've given to you. It will not affect you. You just continue with my work. So God told him that his grace is sufficient for him. So that's a different case. Yeah, apart from that, you cannot say you want to go out there and minister healing when you have not been able to get yourself healed through faith and anointing. Yeah. So you must be full of compassion and love toward those in bondage for the healing anointing to flow through you. So you must not make the mistake I was making at that time, feeling so irritated about sinners. If you are like that, God will not use you for them. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, and that is this is also one of the reasons why I am so much against churches and ministries that prays for their human enemies to die. Yeah, they're always praying for their human enemies to die. when the Bible says we are not fighting flesh and blood enemies. So they keep praying that let all their human enemies in their father's house, in their mother's house, to fall down and die. Let all their human enemies in the community, in the environment, fall down and die. If you are praying like that, it means you don't have compassion. You don't have love. You don't have compassion. And then it means God cannot use you for healing. And maybe you might not even get healed having such kind of mindset. It means the healing anointing cannot flow through you. Yeah, because you don't want to save people. You want to kill people. So the healing anointing doesn't flow through someone who wants to kill. It flows through someone who wants to save. Yeah. Yeah, it flows through someone who wants to save lives, not someone who wants to kill. Now, in spiritual warfare, healing does happen in spiritual warfare, but it is not you who decides who dies and who lives. There are some human enemies that have transformed into demons themselves. So God has to kill them. They are human beings, but they are no longer human beings because they have gone so deep into darkness and they have become darkness themselves. Just as you can go so deep into God and you become like God himself in nature. The same way a man can go deep into darkness and become darkness themselves and become demons in nature. Yeah, so God has to kill such people, but it is not you. You can't even know. How can you know who have gone so deep in darkness and have turned into demons? How can you even know? Because the person you consider to be the worst sinner might actually be the person that all the angels in heaven are working tirelessly to save and bring back into God's kingdom. So how can you even know those human enemies that God wants to kill? There's no way you can know. So that is why we don't fight against human beings and start praying that they die. Yeah. We don't do that. Because that is a virus. Having such mindset is a virus to your spiritual health. It starts killing you yourself. When you are always about killing people, you also start dying yourself. But when you are about saving people, you will live. Yeah, and God will use you to give life to people, to heal people, when you are all about saving them. Yeah, and also one of the things God have revealed to me is that He is not about, God himself told me he is not about killing people, that he wants to save people. Yeah, that whenever he kills, he does it to save. Yeah, just as our soldiers go to war. I mean, just as what soldiers did when they go to the battlefield. Yeah, the way soldiers have been trained is to kill, to save. Not just kill. Yeah, so they are killing because they want to save the lives of people in their country. That is why they kill. Yeah, apart from that, it is a criminal offense for any soldier to just go ahead and kill. Yeah, so God told me that His kingdom kills because they want to save. So God is destroying the enemy, destroying agents of Satan, because He wants to save the people they have captured. Yeah, so God is not a killer, He's a savior. Yeah, He's a savior. So when you kill, because you have to, because that is the only way to save people, then that is righteousness. Yeah. And of course, as I said, that is none of your business. Yeah, you don't need to be asking God to kill this one. God, please kill that one. That woman is a bad person. Please kill him. Kill her for me. God, please kill that man. Is a demonic person, is into witchcraft. That is none of your business. Your business is to save. Then God does the judgment where necessary. Yeah, if your mind is after destruction of people because you have condemned them, to death, then you can never function in the healing anointing. God will not give you such power. Yeah. If your mind have condemned others to death, you feel like, oh, this person is an evil person, this doesn't deserve to be healed. Oh, this is an evil person. Yes, very evil. So wicked. They don't even have human feelings. They don't have mercy on anyone. So they deserve to die. Yes, all of them deserve to die. If you are like that, forget it. The healing anointing cannot flow through you. And it's possible that you might not even get healed at all if you have a sickness. Because that kind of mindset is against the standard of God's kingdom. I pray that the Lord give you more understanding. Now let's move to point number 3. Point number 3 says, it is not for merchants operating in the healing anointing. Is not for merchants. Merchants. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Verse 8. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8. Heal the sick. This is Jesus talking to the disciples when He was sending them out to go and preach. He told them, He said, heal the sick, because He already gave them the power to do that. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. And then He went further to say, freely ye have received, freely give. The healing anointing is not for merchants. That is not for those who want to sell it. It's not for those who want to make merchandise of it. in anointing to profit themselves. The healing anointing is not for such people. Yeah. And usually when God discovered that you've crossed into that darkness, He starts withdrawing that anointing from you, or the anointing starts drying off. Yeah, so it is a lie when anyone tells you that God don't take away His gift. God don't take away anointing. They will say the gift and callings of God is without repentance. I'm sure some of you might have heard people talk about that. They will say the gift of God, the calling of God is without repentance. So which means if God give you power and anointing, God will not take it back. It's a lie. And as a matter of fact, that the scripture they are quoting is not, I mean, that scripture does not mean what they are using it to defend. So the anointing can dry up, and the anointing can be withdrawn when you no longer walk worthy of it. Yeah, how do I know this? You can go and read John chapter 15. Then you will know that the anointing can dry off. Yeah, Jesus said that any branch that does not produce fruit, He said it's going to be cut off. And that the branch will wither and die. So which means they will be disconnected from Jesus. And when you are disconnected from where the flow comes from, you dry. Yeah. When you are disconnected from the source of the anointing, then the anointing dries up. Yeah. And that is why we have men of God who no longer function the way they used to. They no longer function in the power of God the way they used to, because they started to sell the anointing. They become merchants. Yeah. When Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. So now they don't want to give it freely anymore. So now you have to pay something to benefit from the anointing that was given to them for free. Yeah. So when Jesus saw that they are now abusing the anointing, so gradually Jesus began to withdraw the anointing from them. Now, even if it looks like some of them are still performing miracles, let it be known to you that the anointing is drying up gradually. The reason why the anointing doesn't dry up so fast in their lives is because there are some people that are looking up to them, that God will use them to bless them. I mean, that God will walk through them to touch them. I don't know if you are getting my point. Most times, the reason why Jesus doesn't withdraw the anointing completely from the lives of such ministers or men of God is because there are still some people following them that expecting Jesus to use them for them. Yeah. So because of those people, that is why this man of God is still can't channel some measure of the anointing. Yeah, because usually when you are disconnected from Jesus, when you start doing the things Jesus did not send you, what happens is the flow of the anointing ceases. Yeah. So don't let anyone deceive you. The anointing can be withdrawn. Spiritual gifts can be withdrawn. You can lose them completely when you no longer follow the rules, the divine rules that govern the manifestation or the function you have been called to do. Yeah. So the healing anointing is not for merchants. It's not for those who want to use it to profit themselves. It's not for such people. Yeah, because the anointing itself is priceless. There's no price for it. There's no price that can buy it. It's too expensive to be purchased. So that is why it is a criminal offense in heaven to want to sell the anointing. Because there's no price to buy it. Yeah, it is priceless. Yeah, so priceless. Yeah, so if God uses you to heal people, don't stay there after the miracle have happened and then you stay there and then you are trying to suggest that they give you something. You are trying to suggest that they pay for the miracle. That is witchcraft. Yeah. Because you are now giving the people impression that they can pay for the healing. Whereas they can't. They can't. They can never pay for it. Because it has no price. Because it is too expensive to be bought. There's no money that can buy it. So when you start wanting to be paid, after God have used you to solve a problem, then you are a failure to God's kingdom. And you are a disappointment to God's kingdom. I pray the Lord give you more understanding. Now the last point before we pray. Point number 5. Okay, sorry. Not the last point. Or maybe should I stop here? I have 2 more points left. I don't think any of you is in a hurry. Let me finish the point. Point number 4. It is not for the proud. Yeah, the healing anointing is not for the proud. Let's look at John chapter 3. Verse 27. John 3, 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So, why should you be proud? when it was given to you. The healing anointing is not for the proud. Now, I'm taking time to talk about these things, because definitely many of you here are ministers of God, whether you accept or not. Many of you here, God has great plans for you, to use you for mighty things. So you are not hearing this message by chance. God has a great plan for your life, to use you for great things. Yeah, and that is why you are hearing about this. Yeah, so this is not just a teaching to help you get your own healing and deliverance. This is a teaching to make you a healer that is able to heal through by channeling God's power into people's lives. Yeah. So if you can follow the rules I've been talking about from point number one, then you can be sure that God will not withdraw his healing anointing from you if you can follow these rules. God will allow you function in that anointing in the most powerful way you have ever seen it happen on earth. Yeah, you think all those popular men of God, you think they are functioning the highest level of the anointing? I don't think so. I don't think so. The highest level is still waiting for many of us to attain. And these are the rules by which God will use you mightily, by which you function in that level of anointing that has not been heard of in history. May the Lord find you worthy of such anointing, in Jesus' name. So John 3 verse 27 says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So if it is given, if it was given, then why should we boast about it? Yeah, some people some people have come to me and then they say, man of God, you're just so humble, considering a lot of things God is using you to do. Yeah, they say they just like the fact that I am so humble. And then in my mind, I'll be laughing. Yeah, because there's no reason to be proud. Yeah. So it's good to be... It's good to have your spiritual eyes opened. It's good to not be a blind Christian. That is why I can never embrace pride, because I'm not blind. So I think those that are proud, they are blind and they are foolish. That is why they are proud. When your eyes is opened, And you really know God, there's no way you will be proud. Because you will know that there is nothing you have that wasn't given. So if it was given, then why do you boast Why should you boast about it? Yeah. If it was given, why should you boast about it? Yeah, so the healing anointing is not for the proud. Yeah, you must consider yourself privileged to be used by God. Yeah, you must be wise. You must not think, oh, look at me, I'm this special. There are not many people like me. Not many people can do what I'm doing, what I can do. And then you start raising up shoulders. That's a sign of serious foolishness and blindness. Yeah, because when you read that scripture, your eyes are supposed to open. When you read that, no one can receive a thing except it be given. Your eyes should be opened. That I have this thing because it was given. So which means the person that gave it can also take it back. Yeah, so it's not mine. Yeah, and the fact that I have this is even a burden. Yeah. Many of us who have the anointing, we can't live a normal life again. Because it's a burden. Yeah, because you have to help people with the grace God has given to you. Yeah, so to be given much power from God is to work more for God. Yeah, except it's not God that gives you the power. So when God gives you power, you have to work more. The Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. So why should you be boasting about the power when you should just be busy about the assignment? Yeah, how you can use that grace and that power to solve more problems. Yeah, so it's not about pride. It's about duty. It's about duty. It's about responsibility. So the more of God's anointing in your life, the more it calls for duty and responsibilities and labor. So if you're not ready to walk tirelessly, stop asking for anointing to solve problems. Because the anointing is not for you. It's for the people out there. Now the last point before we pray. It requires unlimited faith. Operating in the healing anointing requires unlimited faith. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 8, from verse 7 to 13, which I'm not going to read, but you should read it at your convenient time. Matthew chapter 8, verse 7 to 13, you're going to see the story of that man whose servant was sick, and then he came to Jesus that Jesus should come and heal him. And then Jesus said, he's coming. And the man said, oh, you don't have to come. In fact, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. He said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. He said, he's a man of authority. He has many soldiers working under him. He tells them, he gives them orders, and they go immediately to obey the orders. So he said Jesus should speak the word and his servant will be healed. So that is unlimited faith. If you want to function in the healing anointing, you must have unlimited faith. So that man has a faith that is not that has no limit. Yeah, because many people that have been telling Jesus to come and pray for their sick, they would want him to be there in person. But this man said, you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there in person. Just speak. Yeah, and that really moved the heart of Jesus. So which means that a failure to get healing is not a matter of the man of God did not touch me. The man of God did not lay hands on me. It's a matter of faith. Yeah. It's a matter of faith. Yeah, there are some people that they don't believe that their faith alone can solve their problems until they have a chat with the pastor or with the man of God one-on-one. They don't believe that just joining the program that the man of God organizes, just participating in the meetings, following all the prayers, following all the teachings, they don't just agree that that alone can solve the problems in their lives. They really want the man of God to, you know, talk to them directly. That is lack of faith. Some they want the man of God to touch, to lay hands on them. That is lack of faith. The anointing, the healing anointing itself is unlimited. That is, it is in every way, or it can manifest any way God is. And we know that God is everywhere. So anywhere God is, the healing anointing of God can appear there. So I know of people who never went to, they never went to any healing program like the one we're having right now. They never attended any prayer program. And nobody lay hands on them. They were just sleeping on the bed in their room. And the healing anointing appeared in their dream. And touched them in the dream. And they woke up healed. The anointing went into the realm of their dream. Touch them, and by the time they woke up, the problem is gone. Yeah, and of course I know people who were just worshiping alone in their room, reading the Bible alone, and the anointing touched them at that moment, and they were free. Yeah, so this healing anointing is not confined to a place or confined to a person. It has no limit in operation. So also should your faith have no limit. So when your faith has no limit, then the anointing of God will manifest in a great way. In a great way. But when your faith already sets limits, then the anointing will just follow your faith. Yeah, most times Jesus will tell the people, your faith has made you whole. Yeah, I see it as a way of Jesus trying to help those people. Yeah, Because Jesus don't want to force his own faith on them. If Jesus were to force his own faith on them, many of them cannot believe. Yeah, so that was even why he asked that man, what can I do for you? And then the man said, I want to see. So what that means is that Jesus can do more, but we have to see it. I don't know if you're getting my point. Jesus can do more than we think or imagine, but you have to see that Jesus can actually do more, and then you have to believe for the more. I don't know if I get my point. So the reason why Jesus would say your faith has made you whole is because he doesn't want to force his own faith on those people. He wants to just do as much as their faith can carry. He wants to do for them as much as their faith can carry. But Jesus knows that there is a lot they can get from him, but he's waiting for their faith to be able to get that much from him. So since he discovered that many of them don't have that faith to get more, much, they only have faith to get maybe those things they think is most important. So he said, your faith has made you whole. I don't know if you're getting my point. Now, let's say Jesus was expecting that you will have a faith for 50 billion dollars. He was expecting, but then when he saw you come closer, he looked at your heart, and then he discovered that you were just asking for 50 million dollars. And then Jesus would say, oh, your faith, let your faith do it, or receive it according to your faith. So what that means is that your faith can get more, but since you have settled for less, then receive it according to your faith. Yeah. So many of those people that Jesus told in the Bible, that let it be to you according to your faith, they could actually get more from Jesus than what they got if they were able to manifest unlimited faith. Yeah, so it is important that we have unlimited faith if we want to get the best from God. Amen. So we are going to pray now. Just three prayer points. You're going to talk to God. You're going to say, Father, I want the healing anointing to produce great things in my life. You're going to say, Father, I want your healing anointing to produce great results in my life. Make my life worthy of that. Make me worthy of such results. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, Father, I want your healing anointing to produce great things in my life. make my life worthy of your anointing. Make my life worthy of your anointing. Help me to follow the rules. Help me to follow the rules that are governing the manifestation and operations of your healing anointing. Help me, Lord, to follow the rules. Make me worthy of the wonders of your anointing. In the name of Jesus. Make me worthy to experience the wonders of your anointing. Such that I do not only get my own benefits from the anointing, but that I also become a vessel you use to heal other people. That I also become a vessel you can use. A vessel you will use to heal and deliver other people. Oh Lord, make me worthy of your healing anointing. I want your healing anointing to function powerfully in my life and ministry. Say, oh Lord, make me worthy of your healing anointing. Help me to follow the divine rules that governs the operations of your healing anointing. Help me to have love and compassion. Help me to die to the flesh. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Two more prayer points. You're going to pray. You're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say in the name of Jesus, everything in me that is making the healing anointing of Jesus fruitless, die right now. Say in the name of Jesus, everything in me making the healing anointing of Jesus to produce no results in my life, die right now. Open your mouth and pray like that. Die right now. Die right now. Thank you, Lord. Whatever is in my spirit, soul, and body that is not allowing the healing anointing of Jesus to produce results, die right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever is in me that is not allowing the healing anointing of Jesus to produce healing in my life, to produce deliverance in my life, die right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever is in me that is rejecting God's power, pushing away God's power, pushing away God's mercy, pushing away God's anointing, die right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The last prayer point before I'll be praying for you and on your water. You're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, Father, release your healing anointing upon me right now. And let everything damaged in my life be restored. Everything damaged in my life, let them be restored. Every organ in my body that is damaged, let them be restored. Open your mouth and pray like that. Father, release your healing anointing upon me right now. Thank you, Lord. Release your healing power. Your healing power. Your healing power upon my spirit, upon my soul, upon my body right now. Let everything damaged by the enemy be restored now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As you're praying this prayer, something is happening. I can feel it. Yeah, something is happening right there. It's happening to you. I can sense it here. Say, Father, release your healing anointing upon me right now. Let everything in me that has been damaged by the enemy be restored. Everything damaged by darkness, let them be restored. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to be praying for you. I believe you have gotten your water ready. Yeah. For those of you that will be joining new, yeah, you should get a bottle of water or cup of water ready, because I always pray on it at the end of the healing stream program. Yeah, let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your great love and compassion toward us. Thank you for your strength that is making sure that we move forward and succeed in life. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for these things you have exposed to us from your word. Thank you for showing us how to have your healing anointing operate in our lives and through our lives. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for the miracles you have already done in the lives of your people. Thank you for victories and deliverances and healings that have already happened. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I ask that You show mercy on everyone here. Let your mercy speak for everyone. In the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you release your power into the water your people have placed before you right now. Oh Lord, release your fire, release your power, release your anointing into this water now. Right there where they are, let the water transform into your power. In the name of Jesus, I decree that this water transform into God's power and God's weapon in the name of Jesus. Such power that no darkness can overcome. Such power that no kingdom of darkness, no devil, no Satan can overcome. Let that power flow through this water right now and from this moment onward in Jesus' name. Through this water, your healing shall happen. And not just your healing. Anyone out there that is sick and also take from this water, they shall be healed instantly. In the name of Jesus. Anything this water touches, anywhere it touches, the darkness there shall vanish instantly. In the name of Jesus. The mighty angels of the living God, they shall follow this water to act. They shall unleash their terror upon all your enemies through this water in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.